This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Chuang and Shaoning. Now, in about half an hour, we're going to be speaking with Gayathri Venkateswaran, Assistant Professor of Media and Communications at the University of Nottingham, Malaysia, on Malaysia's very first Media Council. In line with that, we have been running a poll this morning on the BFM Twitter account, that's at BFM Radio, asking you how much do you trust the Malaysian media industry? We've had just under 50 votes so far. 50% have said depends on the media outlet, while 30% said somewhat. So do continue to let us know what you think. We'll be taking a look at that throughout the morning. In the meantime, though, let's talk about a possible arranged marriage, because sources have told Bloomberg that Khazanah and Telenor have apparently revived talks on a potential deal involving Axiata Group.
Now, this news comes just 4 months after the carrier scrapped negotiations on a broader merger of their Asian operations. Now, this anonymous source said that both Khazanah and Telenor are in the early stages of exploring possible options. So this might include Telenor buying part of Khazanah's stake in Axiata, which could pave the way for more deals such as a merger of Axiata and Telenor's phone tower assets or consolidation in certain markets. And of course, Khazanah is Axiata's biggest shareholder with a 37% stake.
Yeah, so when you say source, obviously, it's knowing Bloomberg, they would have sources on both sides of the deal. So it's, you can say it's pretty watertight, but obviously the exclusion clauses here, they also add that the deal could fall apart anytime soon and these talks might not lead to anywhere, which is usually an M&A exercise anyway. Other options being considered include a combination and eventual listing of the two carriers' frontier market operations. And we know between those two, they've got stuff in Bangladesh, I think Laos, Cambodia,
Sri Lanka
as well. So these would be considered frontier markets. High population, high growth, but very, very nascent.
But I really like this comment, however, the source said not to get our hopes up, as no final decisions have been made, right?
Wasn't this deal that actually saw the market rise? Because it was the biggest deal last year. It didn't happen, but it was the biggest deal last year.
Yeah, because in September last year, they ended the talks on merging both Asian telecom operations for both Axiata and Telenor. Both cited unnamed complexities as a reason why the deal failed to go through. And the reason why it garnered so much excitement was because if Axiata and Telenor had merged, it would have created the biggest telecoms operator in Southeast Asia, and they would have had 300 million customers across 9 countries and $13 billion in annual revenues. So there were a lot of observers waiting with bated breath for the result of this deal, and everyone kind of breathed a sigh of deep disappointment when it didn't go through.
Well, ASEAN's what, 650 million people, right? So 300 million is roughly half, but then that doesn't include multiple lines by individuals, right? So who knows?
Well, I guess everybody, even in the telco sector, everybody's pushing for M&As because when you think about it, what's the next hurdle? The next hurdle is going to be 5G cost implementation, right? CapEx. And that's going to be quite significant. So it does make sense for telco operators to kind of, hey, let's get together. Partially because it's also in an environment where the average revenue per user has been coming down as more customers shift towards data. It's not just Malaysia. It's going to be an Asian phenomenon where ARPUs come under pressure.
Yeah, but obviously one thing that might change post discussions, and if they come to some kind of fruition, maybe what might change is the shareholding structure. Under the old deal, Telenor would have owned 57% of the new business and obviously control. So I wonder whether that kind of like profile would change as well.
Yeah, and I think one of the issues that they would probably also have to address was the concern over job cuts, because that was something that Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad came out to voice concern over job cuts as a result of that potential merger, because the deal would have resulted in synergies resulting to about $5 billion. And this was based on the assumption that none of the staff would accept the retrenchment package. Axiata at that time had about 12,000 employees in the region.
I wonder how much Axiata actually needs this kind of deal, because they haven't really been performing all that well. I mean, in terms of earnings, also in terms of the share price, which was obviously a reflection of the earnings.
Yeah, they've had a bit of a mixed patch. So unfortunately or fortunately, when you're, I would say a regional telco player, right? When one country is doing well and suddenly another country doesn't do so well. So for the last 2 years ago, Malaysia was the weak spot. Celcom wasn't performing. Then you had Indonesia not performing. So like countries take turns to not perform. So kind of weakening the overall
ecosystem.
Yeah. So sometimes it's not the best when you are a regional player.
No, you're right. And sometimes when you look at it, so the market cap in 2011 for Mike Ziata was 43.5 billion ringgit. Today it's 40 billion ringgit. So it's actually not made much headway. In fact, it's lost ground.
So apparently, representatives from Axiata, Khazanah and Telenor have all declined to comment on this Bloomberg source story. So I guess we'll have to wait and see. But some comments that have come out this morning have been from Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad, who has weighed in on the PLUS deal, because the cabinet has apparently has confirmed that it's decided not to sell PLUS Malaysia. Instead, Tun Mahathir said that its concessions will be extended by 20 years up to 2058, and it comes with the agreement that PLUS would reduce its toll rates by 18% and that there would be no more toll hikes. So what this boils down to is we pay less tolls, but we pay those tolls for longer.
Yeah, so Malaysians theoretically don't need to worry about the 20-year extension. As he says, this is Tun M saying, as the new toll charges will be lower after taking into account the future value of money. This means that in 20 years' time, the toll charges, when compared with the ringgit, will not be very high, and traffic will increase, but the value and purchasing power of the ringgit will go down because of inflation.
So, wow. Okay. So
he's giving us a lesson in the time value of money. That's what Tun M is doing.
Well, he's not incorrect, but I think the deal when it comes to PLUS, it has a few things, right? It doesn't fall into private hands. We don't see anyone else other than EPF and Khazanah running the show, but it also means we're going to pay toll for longer. There's also an additional consequence for bondholders who are holding paper for PLUS, and there's also. We don't yet know what it means in terms of their commitments or their earnings capabilities from this new structure.
Well, theoretically, if you just look at it very simplistically, right, what it means is that, okay, no tolls will be increased, will be reduced by 18% from point A. And from that point on, the concession will also be extended by 20 years, right? So if you look at it from a cash flow perspective, it's probably going to be calculated to be neutral to both PLUS, to PLUS essentially, because then, you know, in terms of how much revenue that PLUS will collect, because now the concession is going to be extended to 2058, it should be the same. But of course, there are repercussions to capital markets, because I'm going to ask this question: what's going to happen to the existing Sukuk that PLUS issued? And there's about 30 billion out there. Does it mean that PLUS will have to buy it back and then reissue new bonds that match these new terms? Because we're going to be talking about an extended concession period, right?
Yeah. Also, it's worth mentioning that PLUS is extremely, extremely important to the government's coffers. As of, 2017, PLUS paid out 3.2 billion ringgit in dividends. In the 5 year period between 14 and 18, PLUS paid out over 3 billion ringgit in dividends. In FY17 alone, 700 million ringgit, and FY18, 450 million ringgit, despite the fact that the business actually recorded an after tax loss of 94 million ringgit in 2018.
Well, the losses
so they're paying much more in terms of dividends than what they're actually getting back. Mm. So it's almost like a national service law. You know, you pay toll, but you get it back.
So for me, while it's good that we do have some clarity over this finally, after what seems like forever, it still does raise question marks over the government's mobility strategy as a whole, right? Because when you reduce toll rates, it encourages people to drive. And there have been some groups to come out to question this and saying that the government should instead come up with effective policies to encourage Malaysians to take public transportation instead. So one of these comments has come from the Federation of Malaysian Consumers Associations, or FOMCA. Their CEO, Dato' Paul Selvaraj, said the reduction of toll rates will benefit individual vehicle owners, but the focus should be on public transport. He also added that people are actually forced to drive since existing public transportation in the country isn't exactly the most reliable.
Yeah, but then if you think about it, it's not just, KL folk, I think we are quite lucky. Our public transport is okay. It's not the best. I mean, last mile connectivity, that's always an issue. But we have public transport. But what if you're not from Klang Valley? You're outside. I think you then still use the plus highways quite a fair bit, right, to get around. So, you know, yes, there should be this move towards public transport. But our train system is not up to par at this moment. It's just starting to, and it, you know, KTM and...
Well, he's got a good point, but there's two parts of the same story, because essentially public transport works for urban areas, and highways and networks of infrastructure for roads work for the rural and non-urban areas. You need both in tandem for a country to function effectively. And don't forget, we're in the year 2020 when we're supposed to be fully developed and high income.
Well, we're not there yet.
Yeah? But highway infrastructure, transport infrastructure is part of the equation.
Well, I think there's probably going to be a lot more news on this story. I'm curious because I like my maths. I'm curious to see what kind of SPV, if any, or any kind of special structure to come out of this for the bonds that Plus already has, because this has repercussions for capital markets.
Absolutely. So we'll be watching this very closely and bringing you updates as we get them. But we are about to head into the 7:30 news now. And then up next, we'll be speaking with Shaheen Contractor, ESG Research Analyst at Bloomberg Intelligence, on BlackRock shifting its investment policy towards sustainable investing. Now, that's going to be happening after the 7:30 news bulletin. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.